Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
What have we been talking about? Rebuilding our lives, right? Rebuilding our lives, and we've been talking about out of Nehemiah. And last week we talked about how there is going to be opposition, right? Anytime you set out to do the will of God, you're going to face opposition. You're not going to do this on your own. You're not going to do this and not have some trouble. In me you'll have peace, in this world you will have what? Tribulation. The word tribulation means trouble. So there's going to be trouble when you set out to do God's will, period. And we have, when we understand that, it's not going to be such a big deal when it shows up in our life. Remember, we talked about John, when John went to the Isle of Patmos, and he told everyone on Patmos, he says, I was with you, I'm a brother. And the word brother is the one, it means from the same womb. So we're all from the same womb, the womb of God. So we're all from the same womb, and we are companions, partners. We are partners in tribulations, in the kingdom, and in the patience of Jesus Christ. It's all about the kingdom. Remember, John was put there because he was under another rule. And that's what we're about. We're about advancing the kingdom of God. And any time you set out to advance the kingdom of God, there is going to be opposition. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19, it says, when Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah the Amorite official and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? You know why they got upset? You know why they were laughing and mocking and trying to destroy what Nehemiah was about to build? Was because they were getting ready to lose control. And they were government officials in the city. They controlled the money, the taxes and everything, and the government. So that's what happens, you see, when you and I decide to rebuild our lives. The devil gets scared because he's going to start losing control. Are you with me? He's going to start losing control of your life. And that's what he doesn't want to give up. See, he doesn't want to give that up. And that's what we have to understand. That's part of this battle that we're facing. When Jerusalem was destroyed, it was destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar, he was a wicked king. And his number one purpose was to dissolve the Jews, the people that lived in Jerusalem. It was to dissolve their identity. Because if he could dissolve their identity, he could take them into Babylonian captivity and control their lives. And that's what his goal was. And he is a type and shadow of the devil. You see that? That's what happened in the garden. Satan slithered in as a snake. The fall happened. And we all fell in ruin. And that's what the enemy does. He wants to ruin your life and keep it in ruin and control you in that ruin so you don't rebuild your life. So you don't line up your life with God. This is what we got to understand. This is our opposition. But you know what? It's not an excuse. You can rise above that. You can't blame the devil for what's wrong in your life, because God has made a way out and we can rise above it. That's this whole idea that we don't have to live and stay there. His second goal was to break their will, because if he could break their will, they would just settle for status quo. They would just give up and just, this is the way I am. I'm going to just live this way and that's it. A lot of you have done that. It's going to be like this the rest of my life. You've just given up. Broke your will. I'm going to tell you something. When you do God's will, that changes things. You see, that changes things. When your will lines up with God's will, now you're doing something. Now you're becoming the real you. You're becoming what the enemy tried to ruin. Now you're becoming the real you, the authentic you. Remember? We've talked about that. All right. Now, it's not convenient to rebuild your life. It's never convenient to rebuild your life. It's not convenient doing what we're doing here. We got to stop looking for convenience and what's convenient. Anything good and worthwhile is never going to be convenient. Am I making sense? Convenience, get that out of your vocabulary. It's not about being convenient. Anything worthy or worthwhile is going to cause problems. It's going to stir up something. It's going to bring change. I'm excited about change. All right. Let's open our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 3. A lot of pastors skip this chapter because of all the difficult names. There's some names in here. So hang with me. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built as far as the Tower of the Hundred and consecrated it, then as far as the Tower of Hanno. Next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zachur, the son of Imri, built. Also, the sons of Hassanah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. And next to them, Miramoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, made repairs. Next to them, Meshullam, the son of Baraka, the son of Meshgabel, made repairs. Next to them, Zadok, the son of Bana, made repairs. Next to them, the Tekoites made repairs, but their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of the Lord. All right. Did you notice in there, and next to them, and next to, all throughout the theme of this, you'll find the word next in there. I don't know how many times, but a whole lot of times. What it's saying is, you can't do this on your own. You need the person next to you. We need each other. If we're going to rebuild our lives, we need to do it alongside of others who are doing the same thing. And in the process, we all get built up. Now, he says about the sheep gate. Now, he talks about the sheep gate. In Psalms 87:2, it says, the Lord loves the gates of Zion. In the second chapter, verse 18, back in the second chapter, it says, and I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. Now, any time you do the work of the Lord, it's a good work. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that you were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prearranged beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has created us for good works. And when we're not doing the good works, that's when we become miserable. And that good works is played out in the body of Christ. And that good works is all about rebuilding your life and helping somebody else rebuild their life. That's what the good works are. Now, the work that we do for God is going to be good. The word good in this Hebrew in 2:18 is the word toba, and it means welfare, benefit, and pleasing. So anytime you're doing the good work for God, it's welfare, it's for the welfare of others. It's going to benefit someone. I always say if you're going to have a fit, make it a benefit, right? pleasing. It's pleasing. It's pleasing to God. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. So it's important that we please God. We please God when we do a good work. Go with me quickly to Colossians chapter 3. We're talking about doing the work of God. And look at verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You see, he says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. So in other words, you want to, when you go to your job, you want to go there and you want to do everything you do there as to the Lord. You see that? Not for your boss, not for your, you're doing everything you do as to the Lord. And you don't go there complaining. If you're going there complaining and talking negative about everybody you're working with, that's defeating yourself, and that's helping you to not be promoted. God wants to promote you. But if you're dogging the hand that he's trying to provide for you through, you see that? The worst thing you can do is complain about the people you work with and the people who are over you. That's the worst thing you can do. So do everything you do as unto the Lord. In other words, you don't do it to please your boss. You go there and you serve your boss. You serve him because you're serving God, right? Remember, we talked about that last week. You serve the people who are over you and around you. You serve them. And as you do it, you're serving the Lord. And you know what? His favor is going to be on you. Remember, when we serve, what happened? God provided the resources. He provided all the weight for Nehemiah to get through the wilderness, and all the timber and all the materials he needed to begin to do the will of God. And that's the way it is. When we are willing to serve others, then God will put his favor on you, and he will bring the people that you need and in your life to get you into the will of God. He will make a way where there appears to be no way. He makes rivers in the desert, right? And paths in the wilderness. Listen. That's a principle of God. When we understand that, it's going to change a lot of things in our life. Now listen, so a good work, it's important to understand the work of the Lord. Something that's important is we have to make ourselves available. God is not looking for your ability. God is not concerned with your ability. A lot of times in churches want to put people in leadership, the people that have ability. But we got to get away from that. And we got to start looking and using the people who are making themselves available. Because God's ability comes on the people who are available. See, it's God's ability that what gets his work done through you. It's his ability, and his ability is the grace of God. And when the grace of God is on you, because you've been faithful, then his ability is going to come through you. You see that? To assist you and others around you. Does that make sense? The Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, it says the righteous fall seven times. To be righteous is not to be perfect, but it says he falls seven times. In other words, you're going to fall. What's the answer? He gets back up. It says he falls seven times and rises again. He gets back up. To get back up means you're faithful. That means you are a faithful person. And that is who God is going to use, and that's whose God's ability is going to be on. The one who is faithful. Faithful in serving. That's whose the ability is going to be on. Now, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to what? Faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see, it's the ones who are making themselves available are the ones that God is going to use. and his ability is going to come through them. And I'm going to tell you what, that's the grace of God. And you see, that ability comes in and it begins to restore your life. The grace of God. It's God's ability on you to give you the ability to do things that you can't do on your own. So it's through that faithfulness that ability is released in you and on you. Now, that's significant right there. I hope you caught that. Now, let's look at this sheep gate for a moment here. Now, verse 1 of this third chapter, it talks about the high priest rose up with the brethren, with his brethren and the priest, and built the sheep gate. And it says they consecrated it and hung its doors. They consecrated the sheep gate. The word consecrate means it's sanctified, set apart for God. Set apart for God. The sheep gate was the only gate consecrated. The sheep gate was the only gate that was sanctified. And the sheep gate is very significant. It's significant into the building of the temple. Because right now, I'm feeding the sheep. And what goes on here has priority in ministry. Because if what happens here doesn't continue to grow and get strong, then nothing's going to happen in India. Nothing's going to happen with our children back in the back. If we don't understand and we're not strong and we're not equipped, then you're going to see if we got to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. So what takes place here, the sheep gate is feeding the sheep. That's my position, is to feed the sheep. What did Jesus tell Peter? In John chapter 16, he said, feed my lambs first. That's the children. You got to make sure those children are fed. I'm going to tell you something. That children's ministry, if you're looking for a place, that's a good place to get started, is to help out in that children's ministry. I'm going to tell you what's taking place back there is off the chart. I am here to tell you, if we're not reaching our children, we need to just shut the doors and go home. I'm just telling you. I remember when I first came up here and I was trying to get the church going. I came in and one day I came in and we weren't getting the people we needed in a nursery and in the children's ministry. I came up front and I said, I don't have time for you this morning. I said, I'm going to go on and go back and teach the children today. And I went back and taught the children. I'm just trying to share with you how important that's important. Are you with me? So don't get caught up in just serve. Begin to serve. We got Wednesday nights that we teach. We break the word down on Wednesday nights. We got classes. We got home groups. We got places for you to be equipped. We got places for you. Now, and we need more people to assist and be available. Everybody say available. Availability. God's ability comes on the one who's making themselves available. All right. The sheep gate. In Psalms 100, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Know that the Lord, He is God. For it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. For we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful in Him and bless His name. For the Lord, He is God, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. You see, the sheep gate. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. As we came in here today, we were coming into the sheep gate of Jerusalem. Now listen, in John chapter 5, it talks about the sheep gate. In John chapter 5, verse 2, no other place do you find these other gates in the New Testament, but you find the sheep gate because it's consecrated, it's sanctified, because the Word of God comes through to feed the sheep. Now listen, it talks about in John chapter 5, verse 2, it says, in Jerusalem, by the pool of Bethesda, the sheep gate, there's five porches. There was five porches. It says in Jerusalem, now right, that's still there, the sheep gate's still there. In Jerusalem, five porches by the pool of Bethesda. Bethesda, Beth, B-E-T-H, means house. Esda means grace. That's speaking of the church. The church is a house of grace. It's a house of grace. Now, and it says there's five porches. Those five porches, the word porch means avenue or entrance. Avenue or entrance to what? Into the grace of God for your healing and for your well-being. That's what that means. Now, the five porches represent apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers for the equipping of the saints. That's what takes place at the sheep gate and in the house of grace. Those are all grace gifts. Jesus distributed those gifts, and those are all grace gifts for ministry. They're not gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're not for everybody, because it says he gave some to be apostles, some to be pastors. We don't need more apostles. We don't need more prophets. We don't need more pastors. There's some. What I'm doing is not that big a deal. You guys see me on Sunday, but I'm going to tell you what's more important is going on back there with those kids. That sounds like it's important for the sheep gate, but I'm not the most important thing there. Right? Y'all getting that? You know, it talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, it's not the members that are seen, it's the ones who aren't seen. We all have a place in this body, right? We all have a place, and we all have to be doing our part. Now, this sheep gate, okay, what is taking place here is vital. Teaching, preaching, and understanding and growing. Now look at this. Now listen to what I'm going to say. This is what my mentor, Dr. Cottle, used to say. He used to say, feed the ox that plows the corn, or we will lose the whole crop. You see that? We're the ox. We are the ones doing the work. We're the one. It says the fields are ripe for harvest, but the laborers are few. But we have to keep feeding. That's my position as a pastor, is to feed the people. That's not my position, is really not to do the work. Although I do the work and I continue to do the work, but my primary position is to lead and feed. All right, go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. So we're talking about doing the work of God. In Matthew 16, 18, it says that Jesus said, I will build my church. Go to Ephesians 4. I'm doing a little preaching while you're going there. Matthew 16, 18, it says, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the what? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There are gates in hell. Gates in hell. And listen, the gates, in that term for hell, well, the hell's gates, is the Greek word poulia. And this is what it means. Entrance into the hell, into the earth from hell. Entrance into the earth from hell. And the Hebrew word is shahar, which means piercing the darkness. Piercing the darkness. That's what gates means. Piercing the darkness. Entrance from hell. Now listen, that's where that book, Piercing the Darkness, came from, that word, shahar. Now look, gates represent authority. That's what lets in and out of the city. So folks, listen to me. Hell is not happy when you start to rebuild your life for the kingdom. You know what? One of the biggest problems we have is we have a past. We have patterns that have been passed on to us, iniquities, right? From as far as three and four generations. That's where a lot of our battles are, is changing that. But you see, that's the kingdom in you rising up, is getting that kingdom operating and functioning in your life. That's what's going on. Now, did you go to Ephesians chapter 4? All right, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the what? Who does the work? The saints, right? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. What's the ministry for? For the what? Edifying of the what? Now, so when you do the work of the ministry, look what happens. The body gets edified. We're the body, right? The word edify means to rebuild, to restore, and to remodel. That's what happens. When you do your part, others get rebuilt, remodeled, and restored. You edify it when you're doing your part. Now look, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, from whom, now listen, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the what? The rebuilding, the restoring, and the remodeling of the what? Of itself in love. You see this? We have to grow up, don't we? We can't stay baby Christians. We can't whine about all these problems. We have to grow up. And when we grow up, you know, you got these, you got some of these, you ever hear, you want to go back and get in touch with your inner child? You know, that child needs to grow up. And we need God's word and quit looking back in the past, right? And go forward. Because folks, when we stay children, and we don't grow, then that's what causes our, that's why we'll go off by ourselves, we'll get hurt, and we want to go, and we try to do this thing without the body, and you will get eaten up. The enemy will eat your lunch and eat you at the same time if you dislocate from the body of Christ. Because it is not designed for you to do it on your own. You cannot do it on your own. You have to be next to somebody doing the same thing. We have to. It's not going to happen on your own. The Bible says he who isolates himself seeks his own desires. You separate yourself, you're doing your own thing. And you're not advancing anything that God has to do with. But misery when you're doing that. Am I making sense? That's why this independent idea, you know, some of these folks, they have this independent, it doesn't work. All right, now, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective work by which every part does its share. Let me ask you, are you doing your share? Are you doing your share? Look at your neighbor and say, are you doing your share?
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
Listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.